Okay, without further ado, he's sitting there tapping his feet, ready to keen and ready to minister. Please welcome Pastor Russell.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Am I on?
You are.
I am. Well, I've enjoyed being with you the last week and a bit, and I really have a very strong prophetic message this morning, and I pray that you're ready for it.
Amen. Yeah. Woo.
The first place I went to preach after I got ordained as a pastor, and I won't tell you when, because then you'll go, N-n-n-n-n-n. And the elder introduced me in this church. Then he sat right in front of me and went to sleep. So I stood right in front of him, and I used to say, "And Jesus said..." And then I walk around and do things, and I come back and say, "And Jesus said..." You know, well, he just kept sleeping. Well, anyway, I just thank the Lord for this place, and I have a history back in this place, in this wonderful church, and I've never forgotten that, of course, and Pastor Fred and Benny Anderson, bless the Lord for them, and many others. But I really want to just honor them and you and Pastor Kerry and his dear wife Sally for inviting me. And I bless the Lord for that, and I don't know what the future holds. We don't know what tomorrow brings. None of us do. We may have a mortgage on our house, but we certainly don't have a mortgage on tomorrow. And so we've just got to live today like there will be a tomorrow. Amen. And make a plan for tomorrow. Amen? Amen? And when you don't make a plan for tomorrow, then the enemy can trip you up and do things in your life. Now, I want to start off by saying this. I want to bring a very specific message out of Joel chapter 2. And it talks about the closing days. And all the signs are there for the closing days. All the signs are there. And those closing days are very pertinent in terms of really understanding where we are in the time frame. You know, the book of Daniel chapter 2 says, he changes seasons and times. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and none of his soothsayers or his Chaldeans or his sorcerers or any of his learned so-called men could understand what the dream was and what the interpretation was. And he told them, "I'm going to kill you all unless you can tell me." Now, of course, Daniel was there. And Daniel said to the jailer, "Go back and tell him. If he gives me time, I'll tell him." And so as he waited on the Lord, you know, the book of Isaiah says, "Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings of eagles." Oh, really? We're supposed to be a bunch of eagles, not chickens. Amen? Amen. Yeah. See, well, that's what God's looking for in this last day. "They will mount up with wings of eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint." Then he went in and spoke and declared, "Here is the message, and here's what it means." And when I look at that whole essence of how God changes seasons and times, he does the changing. We must be not people out of season. We must be aware that we are seasonal people. There are times and seasons. And what was once is not now. Now God is doing a new thing. God is always doing a new thing. Let me tell you something about new wine. New wine is always fresh, always new, always has that effervescent quality about it. It's always burgeoning. It's always moving. It's always shaping. It's always forming. It's always intoxicating. Because on the day of Pentecost, they on the outside saw 120 people in the marketplace and witnessing, and 4,000 people came to Christ. 3,000 people came to Christ. Just like that. And they said, these men are drunk. And Peter said, no, we're not drunk. The word drunk means intoxicated to the point of not being able to stand up. That's why Paul said, be not drunk with wine, but be being filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't be drunk with wine. You'll get a sore head out of that. And who knows what can happen. You'll probably go fall down and damage yourself. But when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, now that's a different wine. Amen. 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 That's what God's looking for.
Yeah.
And so, when I understand a prophet, the herald of the Lord said, make his path straight. Get ready, he's coming. Make his path straight. And then he said this, you know, there's one coming after me. Why? Because I baptize you in water unto repentance. But what's this H2O? This normal H2O, it's just normal things. You need it every day. I need it every day. Everybody needs it every day. You are all your part, a large part of your body is water. But there's one coming after me. Now I baptize you in this. The word baptize means fully emerge. It means submerge. I submerge you in water, but there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to untie. He shall baptize you and submerge you in something totally different. Now, I want you to know, if you speak in tongues, everybody say a little in tongues. When you speak in tongues, I want you to know something else comes with it. I speak in tongues. Sunday, Monday, tie my bow tie, as Rodney O'Brien used to say. And you just babble off, but you don't know what comes with it. You don't know there's a life that comes with it. And a lot of people forget the life. They got that little Sunday, Monday. It's more than the Sunday, Monday. Much, much more. And what you need to understand and know, God is raising up a generation. God is in a new season. God is raising up in a new season and a new generation, a new perspective, a new army. It's nothing to do with age. It's to do with the motivation of your heart. It's to do with your motivation. It's to do with that passion. You lose that passion, you lost it all. Sorry, girls and boys. I've never lost passion. The enemy tried to kill it, tried to take it, tried to whitewash it, tried to put me in boxes like many times he'll try and put you in a box, and one of the greatest areas of the box is your head. And yet Proverbs 3:23 says, as a man thinks in his heart, that's what he is. So you've got to be thinking the right way all the time. You've got to be speaking in the right way all the time. You've got to be moving in the right way all the time. See, now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm driving down here in my Ferrari. Well, it's only small, but it's my Ferrari. And the Lord said, tell him, your pastor, it's a new day. And behold, before it happens, I will reveal it to you. I will show it to you. I will reveal the whole purpose and the whole plan. And now I'm changing everything. I'm going to flip you upside down, says the Lord. I'm going to show you what you have not seen. You're going to hear what you've not heard. You're going to speak what you've not spoken. And you're going to understand what you've not understood, said the Lord. There are inklings of it and sprinklings of it. But there is an army in this house. And I'm starting to shake this place, said God. And I want a purpose out of this. I want a destiny out of here. I want what I spoke in this place years and years and years ago to come to pass. If I said it, I will bring it to pass, said God. And no devil in hell will stop it. If you're ready for that, there's going to come a pressure, said the Lord. There'll come a twisting and a turning, and I will shape you and form you and mold you into a greater shape than any man in this place will understand and see, said the Lord. And then I'm going to do it with all of these. Now, all of that said, where am I going? I think one of the greatest, most significant words in history was a lone sailor called Joel. A lone prophet prophesying to the evil nation and saying things like, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people and the congregation, the assembly of the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast, let them, the bridegroom, go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Now he went on to speak about all these different areas. Then you all will be jealous for the land and pity the people. And then he says, be glad, you children of Zion. Then he comes down to verse 26. And you'll eat in plenty. Joel chapter 2, verse 26. And you'll be satisfied. You've got to be careful that when you're satisfied, you don't need anything else. Well, I'm satisfied. I've had people in altar calls and I said, what do you want from God? Nothing really. I just need a blessing. I've got everything. I said, what? Well, how about $1 million? I suppose that'd be nice. I said, well, guess what, honey? I ain't going to pray with you. Think about what you want and I'll come back and pray with you. See, you can't play games with God. You've got to be very serious with God. He's very specific. Have a look at the way the tabernacle was created. Have a look at all the way that he spoke to Moses about how the tabernacle was to be built. In very, very, very specific terms. We do shotgun. And he says here, and you'll eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, that he has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Thank you, Lord. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Thank you, Jesus. And then he says it. Then he impacts the world with this incredible movement, with this incredible word, with this life-changing word. When I read that years ago, oh man, I tell you, I got a touch on my life. I said, God, do it on me. Do it on me, Lord. Do it on me. If they're putting me in the grave, put it on me while I'm in the grave. And it says this, and it'll come to pass afterwards. When's the afterwards? Right now. Right now, it'll come to pass afterwards that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. What sons and daughters? Young ones? No. Old ones. Yeah. Middle-aged ones. Yeah. Old ones. All sorts of ones. I'll pour my spirit on all flesh and sons and daughters, all flesh, not some flesh, and sons and daughters will prophesy. What's the first thing in that whole area of the significance of the last days? It's the prophetic word. It's not healing. It's nothing else. It's the word. You see, he went on to say, and I'll pour out my spirit. It's connected to John chapter 2, where in the significant area of turning 660 liters of water to wine. That's to do with the pour out. The pour out here and the pour out there. You see, there's nothing wrong with the wine. Wine's always fresh. It's to do with the bottle. The bottle gets cracked. The bottle gets dry. The bottle gets molded in the wrong way. The bottle kind of, it gets drier and drier and drier. You can't put anything. God will not put anything like that in it. Otherwise, it'll kill the wine. God is never going to heal, kill, and allow to kill what he imparts into us. See, he went on to speak, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. And, where are the sons and daughters prophesying? Where are the sons and daughters prophesying? I ask this question in many churches. Where are the sons and daughters prophesying? Oh, well, we have one and maybe two and, you know, your sons and daughters will prophesy. What sons and daughters? Only a few? No. A heap of sons and daughters will prophesy. Well, why did Moses lay his hands on 70 elders and they prophesied and did not stop? And Joshua said, hey, you better stop these guys. They're just prophesying. What do you mean? They're speaking the very oracles of God. They're speaking the very destiny, the very purpose of God Almighty into the earth so that it can be done. Sons and daughters will prophesy. And then what else did he say? And all men will dream dreams. Where are the all men dreaming dreams? Prophetic dreams. Marvelous dreams. Apocalyptic dreams. Eschatological dreams. Weird, wonderful, marvelous, majestic, divine dreams. Where are the all men dreaming dreams? And saying, I had a dream. Well, Martin Luther stood on those steps and said many years ago in the 60s, I've got a dream. I've had a dream. I believe Jesus has got a dream for us. He's got a dream for every church. You see, the dream fits the dreamer. And there's one thing about dreams. They change. And they escalate. They move forward. God's always moving forward. And he said, the old men will dream dreams. And young men will see visions. That word visions in the word Latin is tied to the word video. They'll see videos. Oh, of course, I've seen a lot of videos. Arnold Schwarzenegger videos, Bruce Willis videos, and Matt Damon videos, and seen a couple of other kind of videos as well. And young men will see visions. Oh, really? They'll see visions. Prophetic dreams. Prophetic visions. They'll have revelation. They will have understanding. Well, where are they? Where are they? What happened to them? Where are the prophetic schools? Where are the Bible schools? I've seen people walk into Bible schools with so much potential, so much in on the inside, so much grace and so much goodness. It's raw. It's absolutely fabulous. It can change nations. They go to Bible schools and they walk out 3 years later like a bunch of zombies. I've taught in about 5 Bible schools around the world. I've never been to Bible school. Ain't no one going to lock my head up. Only Jesus. Amen. Well, understandingly, and all men will dream dreams, and young men will see visions. And then God does not forget women. And all my servants and my handmaidens. Oh, and all the women said, amen. Thank God they've got a voice in this place. Yeah. I've said something in places like that today. And all the ladies went, and you go, amen. I said, the men have been putting their hand on you and holding you back. And not in this place. You see, are my servants. Who are the servants? Laborers. Slaves. The minority. Even those that stand next to a king. The courtiers. The ordinary soldiers. Oh, really? Well, what does it mean? They'll prophesy. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit. I'll pour it out on all flesh. And sons and daughters will prophesy. The word prophesy means to bubble up. I had 4 prophets pray for me in 1988 in Florida, in Bill Hammond's conference. They put their hand on my belly and said, bubble up, bubble up, bubble up, Russell. That's what it means to prophesy. It's like a bubbling on the inside, you know. You know, sometimes when you when you take a laxative, you bubble up the wrong way. I'm being very honest, you know, but this is a different, this is a spiritual bubbling up. This is a majestic, divine bubbling up. This is something you're getting. And, I remember meeting Robert Sliarden many years ago. And when he was a 9-year-old boy, he was running through the bush with a mate of his. And And all of a sudden, the angel Gabriel appeared to him on a white horse and with a sword pointed at him and said, Roberts, you're going to be a great man of God. Get ready. And took off. See, God does all sorts of things. He is appearing all over the world. He is appearing to the most unusual of people. How come he doesn't do that with us? Rick Joyner had an experience many years ago. And one of the prophets prophesied over him in a meeting and said, tonight you will have a visitor. And he'll come to you. And Rick Joyner said, okay. Sure enough, 2 o'clock that night, he stepped bolt upright in his bed. The light came in. Nobody turned the light on. The room was dark. Jesus stood at the door. Walked up to him. Put his hands on his shoulders. He said, I thought I was going to die. Put his hands off. Put his hands on 3 times. Then walked away. Stood at the doorway and said, Bob Jones will tell you about that. So next morning at 6 o'clock, ring, ring. Bob's on the phone. Hiya, Rick. You had a visitor last night. Rick said, I don't know, you tell me. He said, well, I'll tell you what, and described exactly. He stood at the doorway at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. The light came into the dark room. You sat bolt upright. He walked straight up to you. You got out of bed and he put his hands on your shoulders. You thought you were going to die, right? I don't know, you tell me. 3 times, this is what it means. And told him exactly. Ellie and myself were in a meeting with Paul Kane years ago. Pastor Fred and many of you would probably be there. And I'm sitting right up on the right side. We had a friend of ours. She stood there and Ellie was on that side. I'd met him the year before and given him a little note. This is a great prophet. Not so much now, but he was great. I gave him a little note and said, would you have coffee with me tomorrow? Because he had a heart condition. And I prayed with many people who had heart problems and God healed them. And who knows what can happen this morning. So he said, oh, Russell, I've got your note. We can have coffee. No problem. Tomorrow. Now, he said, now, where are you? I know where you are. You're there. And he said, now, let me tell you this. I don't know this, but your middle name is, and don't you tell anybody, is William. Still William. I said, yeah. He said, you have a son who's also William, middle name. I said, yeah. And then he guess he's getting my attention. And he said, that lady standing next to you is not your wife, that lady is. Put her in the middle. So standing next to you. And now her middle name is Joanna. Is that right? I mean, yeah. Now he's got my attention. I like prophets like that. Don't you? Well, you mean God can't raise them up in Hillside? He doesn't raise them up in Western Australia. They only have to come from America, from outside. Is that right? I think that whole idea stinks. God can do something great and is doing something great and has done something great inside Western Australia. And we always look to the outside. Oh, well, it's going to come and shake the city. It ain't going to shake the city. You're going to shake the city. Amen. Then he says, now he says, I'm going to prophesy over you and then I'm going to prophesy over your sons. And he prophesied over my son. You remember, Pastor Fred. And the last thing he said was, I'm going to put a hook in his jaw and draw him into the last days ministry, and he'll be greater than you, and he'll travel the world, etc., etc. And then he prophesied over me, now you're going to go here and there, and I have. 3 months later, my 20-year-old son's preaching, working with people on the streets, and he gets a lump right there. I took him to my friend who was the professor of surgery at Royal Perth Hospital. Got him in quickly. He's my friend. We grew up together. And put a needle in there and rang me that night and said, Russell, I've got to come out and tell you. I said, no, Bruce, just tell me. He said, no, I've got to explain to you. And, you know, I said, look, I'm a big boy, tell me. He's got cancer right there. Now, I tell you what. Either you crumble or you fight. And as Robert Slyarton said, if you don't fight devils, I'll fight you. And many people sitting in churches have had warfare and have given up. And all of a sudden they become part of the furniture. Just part of the furniture. God's not looking for that. He's looking for the raw recruits that he can shake this city and shake nations. And this man's one of them. See, here is the divine decree, last days, the closing and the conclusion of things such as the developments, the total development of God's plan of salvation coming to the end of judgment promised. And I will, there are four wills in God. I'm willing that nobody be saved. I'm willing that you be absolutely healed. I'm willing that you become holy. And I'm willing that you pray. I will is a definite act, a decisive act of the perfect will of God himself before the foundation of the world. So this ministry, this word, is not my word like a fire, said Jeremiah. It'll break the rocks in pieces. So this end time movement, there'll come a prophetic mantle on the church. Now we don't know that. And we're ignorant of that. How we ever understand that that's what's trying to sit on the church? This is the end time pour out. Why? Because prophecy is God revealing his purposes to the church. Very dangerous to the enemy. It's a direct hit against lukewarmness, apathy, indifference, lethargy. Drag the feet in there. Well, nothing's going to happen here on Sunday morning. There'll be just another normal Sunday morning. Oh, no, it's not, Jack. You see, prophecy puts a sharp edge over our relationship with Christ. Because as I said on Wednesday night, this is God's mouthpiece on the earth. And if you close down the mouthpiece, you close down by ignorance or purpose. You take away divine revelation, exhortation and comfort and direction. And it will seriously affect man's eternal destiny. And now he says, I'm going to pour it out. Well, what happened in John chapter 2? John chapter 2 is a phenomenal thing. And his mother came to him and said in the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee, son, they don't have any wine. And he said, mother, woman, what that's got to do with me? She said, I know, your hour has come. I can see you're not the same boy that walked into the wilderness. Now, who walked out of the wilderness? I can see it on you. I can feel it on you. I can know it on you. Don't you fool me, son. I know who you are from the day you said to me at 12 years of age, don't you know I must be about my father's business? He turned to his disciples, the servants, and said, fill those water pots. You mean all of those water pots? All of those water pots there. That's a lot of water. And what did he say? Did you fill the water? Yeah, I filled the water. And what was the thing he said? Now pour it out. God's always wanting to fill us. Because we're just like a water tank. We evaporate. God's always wanting to fill us. Wanting to fill us. Have you ever said, oh, well? You know how some people say, oh, well. Or you say, this is the way it is. And you go, oh, yeah, but. Oh, but. Goat's butt. Sheep follow. Oh, but. Yeah. See? Why? Oh, it's turning the ordinary extraordinary. You mean you can turn this ordinary vessel into something extraordinary? Yep. Really? Yep. Well, it's changing the face of the earth by changing mankind first. When Josiah was 8 years of age, he was ordained king and ruled for 31 years. He was a reformer. He pulled down the occultic priests, their temples. He established the word of God in the nation. He got rid of all of the bad lifestyles. He got rid of the fire walkers and all the idols in Israel. He burnt them. See, the patriarch Abraham just believed God as an old man. Now, if you were sitting, walking by Abraham's house, and there the day before he left, he didn't know where he was going, and all his house is all packed up, and probably all his camels were ready to go, and boxes on the camels on either side, and there would have been servants looking after those camels. I don't believe. See, he was very rich, so it wasn't just one camel. It's probably 20 or 30 or 40. And if you walked by and said, Abraham, what is happening? I don't know, Zachariah. What are you waiting for? Well, I'm leaving. When? Tomorrow? Where are you going? I don't know. So, Abraham, you know something? Solomon down the road and me, we think you're stupid. You don't know where you're going? No, but God said, I'm going. So, if God said it, I'm going. If God didn't say it, I wouldn't do it. If God didn't say it, many times I'd say, God, am I doing the right thing here? Yeah, you are. And I said this morning, God, I said, Lord, is this the right message? Or should I bring something that just... He said, don't you do that to me. If God said it, you better do it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
I've seen some stuff over years. I can tell you, God is so good, so gracious. See, I like that kind of prophet. Well, 3 months later, my son had cancer in the left saliva gland. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. He went through a 7-hour operation. But as I said before the other day, and I was saying in my prophetic session yesterday, within something like 10 days or 7 days, he was taking his now wife to Miss Maud for breakfast. They split him down here, split him across here. Took the cancer out, but they had to take a nerve out of the tongue, which could have left his tongue completely paralyzed. And I walked in at 7 o'clock in the morning, and Pastor Rocky Cardillo is praying over him. He's gone to be with the Lord. And one other pastor. And he said, good day, Dad, how are you going? And I went, oh, Jesus, he's got a voice. God's always looking for a voice. But he's looking to pour something out. My sons and daughters and my servants and are my handmaidens. God never forget. Oh, did you, hang on, did you say sons and daughters? Oh, yeah. The last day, we're going to see a phenomenal, majestic proliferation in women's ministry. They're going to come out of nowhere. It's just like they're going to just grow out of the ground. And you go, where did you come from? See, it's coming. As a matter of fact, it's already here. It's already here. already here. See, well, you can't put new wine in an old bottle. Why, new wine, it's got that fermentation process. And what it actually speaks of, fermentation speaks of the hidden prophetic secrets. And only by revealing, revealed by time, by the Spirit. And you have to be in the new bottle, continually refreshed and restored. Otherwise, the wine will not go in. Wine, see, in the ancient New Year, in the Near East, when water became scarce, they drank wine. And wine was rather necessary, more than a necessity, more than a luxury. But wine symbolized sustenance and life. But wine symbolizes joy. It symbolizes the covenant blessing. My goodness. We need a good drink of the Holy Ghost today. We need a good drink of the Holy Ghost today. Amen? We need a good sip. No, not a sip. We need a good sozzle. We need to just guzzle. Amen? Amen. There's going to be some guzzling here today. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. All men dreaming dreams. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Not dreams of sailing to a Hawaiian island. No. Prophetic dreams. Where are the older men? Where are the younger men? With insight and spiritual sensitivity. Why? The word seeing is the word in the Hebrew, intellectually viewing, inspecting, and perceiving, and revealing, and discovering. Wow. And they all shall prophesy. Old, young, middle-aged, young. The second is the prophetic. And what else does it say? And then he says, well, what else did he say? And I will show you wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillar of smoke. And the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it'll come to pass, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. We're going to see signs in the heavens. We're going to see when this pour out comes. Oh, when does the pour out coming, Russell? It's already being poured out. And it's coming again. It's being poured out again and again and again. You just got to wake up every morning and say, Jesus, I'm ready for a pour out. I'm ready to be filled and be being filled. I want my tank not dry anymore. I want it refreshed and filled right to the brim. I want to move with it. I want to understand what's happening in it. Glory to your precious name. You see, here, I love it. When Paul Kane went to visit John Wimber in 1988, he rang Wimber and said, I'm a prophet. Wimber said, how do I know you're a prophet? He said, the day that I come, at 9:30 in the morning, there'll be an earthquake in Anaheim, California. He said, oh, really? And there'll be an earthquake somewhere else as well, a significant one. And he gave the Richter scale, the size of it. Well, Wimber said, oh, well, we'll see, won't we? Gave him a date, 9:30 that morning in Anaheim, California. He walked through the front door and an earthquake happened. God is looking for that kind of pour out. God is looking for men, and he's looking for women, and he's looking for you. And many of you had a secret, many of you had a passion, many of you had something that the enemy has killed. God wants to revive it again, and revive it again. Why? Yeah. I have on my phone Rosh Hashanah on the 1st of October this year. Someone was filming into the air over Jerusalem. I don't know if you've seen it. You guys seen it? There's a white circle of cloud all around Jerusalem. And he was looking at it. And he started to film it. And out of the clouds came the sound of shofars. Sound of shofars. The feast of Rosh Hashanah. Very significant. What's a shofar significant? It's a herald. What was John the Baptist? A prophet, as a herald. What's he looking for? He's looking for a herald. He's looking for a mouthpiece. Why? He's looking for someone that will be filled and then pour it out. And the moment you pour out, you'll get more. I remember being in Indonesia many times. They'll start you at 7:30 in the morning. At 10 o'clock in the morning, they're rushing you off to the next meeting. You have a quick lunch, 12:30, 1 o'clock, you're in a meeting at 2 o'clock. Meeting at 2 o'clock. As soon as you finish that, another meeting at 6 o'clock. You come home around about 12 o'clock at night, and you don't know if you're Arthur or Martha. But you know God's done something. Amen. Meeting, meeting, meeting. I met this guy in Singapore many years ago, and he was a Romanian. And he used to go to Croatia to preach. And they grabbed him many times and put him in jail. When he crossed the border, they said, "Well, now we know who you are. If you're now out of here in 24 hours, we'll put you back in jail." So I said, "All right, stamp my passport." They stamped his passport, and he drove into Czechoslovakia. They said, "24 hours or we put you in jail." He had to drive 350 kilometers. So he drove 350 kilometers. He said, "You know, Brother Russell, big tall, Brother Russell." I said to the Holy Ghost, "Holy Ghost, this is not my problem, it's your problem." And it is. It ain't your problem. I said, "Holy Ghost, what do? He said, "Preach." So I preached. We got there in the afternoon. I preached all afternoon. Then I preached all night. Then I preached at 1 o'clock in the morning. I preached there at 3 o'clock in the morning. I preached there at 6 o'clock in the morning. I had to be out by 12. I preached there at 9 o'clock in the morning. At 11:30, we got back in our car to drive back to the border. "I've got to be back 350 kilometers in half an hour. Otherwise, they'll put me in jail." I said, "Holy Ghost, not my problem, yours." This is how you trust God. So we're driving. He said, "Brother Russell, we're driving and rejoicing and worshiping. And in 10 minutes, we come around the corner. And there's the border. 350 kilometers in 10 minutes. He looked at me. He went, "Ah!" I looked at him and I went, "Ah!" Because I'd said, "This is not my problem, it's your problem." So I got out and there's a big line. I grabbed my bag. I know I can't get out at 12 o'clock or just after. Big long line. So I said, "Holy Ghost, not my problem, your problem." Just then he heard a voice right in front of him. "Give me your passport." He said, "I opened my eyes, Brother Russell, and there is a man giving passport." I gave him passport. He took me to the front of the line, chopped my passport, and pushed me out the door. 12 o'clock. And then I got on my knees and said, "Thank you, Jesus. This is not my problem. This is always your problem." See, God says he's going to pour out his spirit. Fire fell from heaven. Who was it? Oh, Elijah just brought fire from heaven when he felt like it. Red Sea and the Jordan parted. The wise men followed the star. I love this Magi guys. They were from Arabia. And they followed a star. They saw a star in the east. They said, "This is what we've been waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years. That's where it is. We're going." "Where are you going?" "We're following that star." "What star?" "Well, we saw it there. It's gone now. But we're going." "Oh, you're mad. You've got a job. You've got things to do. How are you going to pay for petrol on that camel? I mean, we saw the star. And they rode, and they rode the camel. And now, what were they? Because they bought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, you think there was only three? There could have been 33. And they saw the star. Then they got to Jerusalem, they saw it again. And then they saw it in another area. And they followed until they came to that stable. Gentiles, astrologers, Gentiles that had a dream, that had a passion. Don't you young people lose it. Don't you ever dare lose your passion and your focus. And next time a man says, "What do you want from God?" never say, "I don't know." See, Elijah prayed and the rain stopped. Agabus in Acts 11, in Antioch, prophesies of famine. That's why God did all these things. Here are these signs. Okay, can you come, please? There are steps to come into this whole area of the pour out. Number one, prayer and intercession. Waiting in his presence. See, it's not a matter of time. I've got to wait on time. I've got to pray for an hour or two, and then I'm fine. Look, it's nothing to do with time. It's to do with how quickly you make connection. How quickly you can make connection. Wake up in the morning and say, "Jesus." And he'll say, "Yeah, I've been waiting for you. Oh, Lord, did you see my shopping list? Put your shopping list down. Let you and I have fellowship. Let you and I love one another. Let you and I just get together. Mother and father, teach your children that when they're old, they won't run away. Prayer. Why? Psalm 34 says, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from out of all my fears." Verse 6 says, "This poor man cried and the Lord heard him." And saved him out of all his troubles. One of those great things is declaration. I love what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And says this, 13, "We have the same spirit of faith." What spirit? Spirit of Jesus. Oh. "According as it is written." You mean it's written? Yes, it is. "I believed, and therefore have I spoken." Oh, you mean words? Yeah. "We also believe and therefore speak." So we have the same spirit of faith. Yeah, we do. We have the same spirit of faith. I remember once in Afghanistan we prayed. 36 of us prayed. And we prayed, the first thing we prayed was, "Lord, pull down corruption in high places." 3 days later, headlines in the newspaper. Many in the government resigned because of corruption in high places. Here's another thing. Declare what the word says. Well, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. I believed, I have the same spirit of faith according as it's written. I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and speak. You see, what he said, Moses said, Mount God, they don't have any water. Well, so I tell you what, take a rod and go to that rock and whack it. And watch what happens. Millions and millions of liters of water, fresh water, gushed out. Now they walk on, and then they, and Moses said, they run out of water again. And God says, take your rod. No. Go speak to that mountain. See, first, that rod, that whacking of the rock was symbolic of putting Jesus on the cross. Now you don't whack him anymore. You speak. Why, I believed. I had the same spirit of faith. Therefore, I decreed, I prayed. I spoke what I wanted. And I got it. That's what you do. Can we worship, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Those who wait upon the Lord. And one of the great movements, God is always wanting to control your tongue. That's why we can speak in tongues. It's a gift. It's a sign to the believer of your private worship. A gift for singing in the Spirit. Biblically forbidden for anyone to stop it, because it's a refreshing. It was a commandment of Christ. It's a gift to prophesy. We don't have any time to play church, as your pastor has said. We only have time now to move and be what God intended us to be. To fulfill our gifts. To see the salvation that we've never seen. I've been in Kong Hee's church in Singapore. He and I are old friends for 30 years. I've stood in front in that church on the first row and watched 400 people get saved on a Sunday morning. And he said, when you come to this church and to this altar, you don't walk, you run. Are you ready? When I say three, one, two, three, and they'll come from everywhere, weeping, giving their lives to Jesus. And I said, oh God, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Because I'm never going to get satisfied. And don't you ever get satisfied, any of you. Because it ain't over yet. Are you ready? I just want to say, let's just bow our heads in prayer. And it's this. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Have you met him face to face? My lovely next door neighbor brought me to Jesus. I didn't know who he was. And when I met him, my life radically changed. And here this morning, if you never surrendered and committed your life to Christ, I want to introduce you to him. I want to introduce you to him. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He died on a cross 2,000 years ago. And he bore your griefs and carried your sorrows. And then the Bible says, and with his stripes, you are absolutely healed. You need healing this morning? We can pray for that. But first, I want to say this. You don't know what tomorrow brings. But the Bible says those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. One night in a Baptist church in 1974, I got saved. I thought I was okay. And I didn't know that I needed desperately to be saved. That was the beginning of it until I came here. And that was the finality. Then I understood. And this morning, if you're in this house for the first time and you've never met Jesus, He loves you with an everlasting love. You'll never know the purpose and the destiny that He has ordained and written in heaven for you until you say, "Yes, Lord." And it's nothing that you need to give up. Think of all that now He'll take from you that is a disdain to you. And He'll bless you with Himself and all that He has. It's called eternity. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And He wants to write your name in that Lamb's Book of Life. And if there's anyone here this morning, you've never said the sinner's, that simple little prayer, "Jesus, come into my heart." You're ready to do that this morning. We just raise your hand and say, "Russell, I want to surrender to Jesus. I want to know Jesus." Just put your hand right up and say, "Yes, that's me. Thank you, Lord." This next call, now I'm going to pray for the sick this morning. And I'm going to believe God for a miracle. I've seen thousands of miracles. Phenomenal miracles. Even frightening miracles. Because I know what He can do. But this first call this morning is for you to enter into the pour out and take and allow Him to fill you to overflowing. And it's like a commissioning this morning. I'm going to lay hands on you to commission you in this last day's army. And folks, if you're ready for that this morning, I'm going to lay hands on you. I'm going to pray for you. If that's your heart's deepest desire, stand up.